We return to our study of the book of the Song of Solomon. And here in chapter 2, Solomon pictures Christ and his delightful fellowship with his people, the church, in verses 1 to 7. Then he compares in verses 8 to 13 the church with Christ coming Christ coming to the church to springtime. And then lastly, Solomon illustrates the longing of the church for Christ's second coming in verses 16 to 17. I just want to briefly go through some of the key verses there to help us to understand this chapter. The Rose of Sharon here refers to the flower from a fertile plain in the north part of Israel. It is an emblem of glory, of beauty, and of life. And it is very likely referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. The word lily there is an image of flourishing life used in the art of the temple. And then, of course, in verse 2, you have here, you read of lily among the thorns. Christ here in verse 2 commends his church above all other people or institution of the world. And the word daughters, and before that, the thorns, of course, refers to the world. And the daughters there is a symbol of people or of a nation. An apple tree in verse 3 is an image of protection, like a shadow that overshadowed God's people. And also is it a picture of nourishment and refreshment that the Lord provides for his people. Of course, trees also here in verse 3, can also represent kingdoms. And so here Christ is unique in the spiritual safety and life he provides for his people. Banqueting house there literally means a house of wine, a place of feasting where the believers feast upon the love of their Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then you have in verse 5, stay, the word stay or sustain. Alright, it means to sustain some kind of a nourishment again for the people in the word phlegons. It can be a kind of fruit maybe. And also in verse 6, we see here that when the children of God, when God's people, the believers, cry to the Lord Jesus, he comes to support them. And that is what he is referring to. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. Verse 6. Verse 7. I charge you. Here is an exhortation repeated as a refrain. And then to stir up, not nor awake my love here refers to, in verse 7, that the writer here is saying that we should not disturb the one we love. Church members or the daughters of Jerusalem are urged here never to offend the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Never to grieve him by our sin. And so, I just want to briefly highlight these few things to you. And I come right now to our theme. The meditation for this afternoon is the highest of the highest, taken from verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. These are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, praising himself, commending himself. We read in scripture that our Lord Jesus often praises himself or exhorts himself. He says in another part of the Bible, I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. I am the bread of life, John 6:35. I am meek and lowly in heart, Matthew 11:29. And in several other speeches or exhortation, he is frequently declaring his own excellencies. Yet our Lord Jesus is not indulging in vain glory, in self-praise, so to speak. Is the Lord Jesus contradicting his own teaching against self-praise out of pride? How are we to understand this verse? I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. I submit to you, brethren, that the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty Creator of heaven and earth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has every right, and it is proper for King Jesus to manifest and to show forth his own glory. Read how he extolled his own wisdom and power in the end in the last chapter of the book of Job, and see if it is not most seemly as the Lord himself proclaims it. Is it not God who constantly ruling both providence and grace for the manifestation of his own glory? And do we not all freely agree and consent that no motive short of this would be worthy of the divine mind? So then, Christ has done what is becoming and proper of a sovereign, the highest of the highest, and no words appear more suitable out of his own lips than this. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. I pray that our brief meditation of this verse will bring much encouragement and comfort to us as the Holy Spirit teach us his truth. Why is the Lord Jesus praising himself or commending himself? Is there a reason? And the reason is this. The reason for praising and commending himself is that no one, no human being, no creatures can possibly reveal him, God, the Son of God, to the sons of men but himself. No words sufficient to describe or to tell us of the beauty of who God is, except God telling us himself. No lips can tell the love of Christ to the heart, to our heart, the sinful heart, till Jesus himself shall speak within our hearts. Descriptions all fall flat and tame unless the Holy Spirit fills them with life and power, till our Emmanuel reveals himself within the recesses of the human heart, the soul sees him not. Unless Jesus so manifests himself to us, as he does not to the world, but he does so only to his people, we cannot behold him unless Christ reveals himself to us. We must say, or rather he must say to us, I am the rose of Sharon, or else all the decorations of men, all the expression of men that he is the rose of Sharon will fall short of the mark. When Peter the Apostle declares, Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God, in Matthew 16, verse 16, what did Jesus say? Jesus answered, Jesus commanded and said, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 16, verse 17. So you see, brethren, purified flesh and blood by any educational means or process. All our learning, whatever learning you may select, elevate mental faculties to the highest degree of intellectual power, yet none of this can reveal Christ. It is not sufficient. It is not sufficient. All our learning, all our training, all our wisdom is not sufficient. The Spirit of God must come to us with power and overshadow the man with his wings, and then in that mystic Holy of Holies, the Lord Jesus must display himself to the sanctified eye, as he does not so to the visually impaired sons of men. Christ must be his own mirror. As the diamond alone can cut the diamond, so Jesus alone can display himself. So it is very clear that Jesus, being God, befittingly praises himself. He must necessarily commend himself, or else we should never be able to perceive his beauty at all, for we are just frail, sinful creatures. Therefore, brethren, let it be our prayer that our Redeemer would now reveal himself to us, to his chosen people, and favor each one of us at least with a glimpse of his all-conquering love for each one of his children. May King Jesus himself draw near to each one of his blood-bought children. I trust that this will be of much encouragement to you as we meditate and think on this theme. Now, first, I'd like to speak to you briefly, as I may be helped by the Holy Spirit. The first head is the motives of our Lord in commending himself. The motives of our Lord in commending himself. I take it that he has a design of love. That's the first motive. Out of love. In his commendation. He would have all his people. And he desires that we as God's people, we are rich in high and happy thoughts concerning his blessed person. We are not to think hard thoughts of our God, of our Savior. We are, as God's people, we should cultivate and have this, a very high esteem of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is not content that we, his people, his brethren, should think meanly of him. It is his pleasure that his espoused ones should be delighted with his beauty, and that he should be the King and Lord of their lives, of our lives as God's people. He would have us possess an adoring admiration for him, and join with the most cheerful and happy thoughts towards him. As God's chosen people, we are not to count him as a bare necessity or necessary, like to bread and water, but we are to regard Christ as a delicacy, a luxurious delicacy, as rare and ravishing delight, comparable to the rose and the lily. Our Lord Jesus expresses himself here poetically, "I am the rose of Sharon." Brethren, the song of Solomon's, or rather the book of Solomon's song, is poetry of the very highest kind to the spiritual mind. And that is one reason why I thought it is beneficial for us to do a brief study of this book, so as to invoke in us, or to stir in us, more love for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as you know, this book is seldom preached or taught in many churches. And so I thought we should spend some time on this that would help us to draw us closer to the Lord Jesus. Surely our Lord here adopts that form of speech in this psalm in order to show us. Show us what? Show us that the highest degree or poetic faculty be consecrated to Him. And we are bound to pay homage at His cross for what He has done for us on Calvary. The other motive He commends Himself because high thoughts or high esteem of Christ will enable us, the Christian, to act consistently with our relationship or relation towards Him. The saved sinner is espoused to Christ. In the marriage union between the soul and Christ, the church, the God's people and Christ, this is exceedingly necessary. Listen to the words of the psalm. He is thy Lord, and worship thou Him. Psalm 45 verse 11. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Ephesians 5:23. You see, brethren, the more lofty or loftily we see Christ enthroned, sitting upon His throne in heaven, the more lowly we are when bowing before the foot of His throne. The more truly we shall be prepared to act our part in the economy of grace towards our Lord Jesus, the more we will see of His beauty. Brethren, our Lord Jesus Christ desire us, His blood-bought children, to think well of Him. We should never think hard or evil thoughts against our God, our Savior, that we might submit cheerfully to His authority and so be a better spouse to Him who is the best of husbands. Moreover, that high thoughts that Christians have towards Christ increase our love to Him, increase our love to the Savior, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. You see, men will not readily love that which they do not highly esteem. Is it not true? It is because you highly esteem that thing or value it that increases your love. Love and esteem go together. If we are to love Jesus at all, it must be with the love of admiration. And the higher that admiration rises, the more vehemently will our love burn forth, flame forth, isn't it? My brethren, I beseech all of us to think much, to reflect, to recall, to meditate much on your Savior's excellencies. Think of His mighty love for you, which draws you to Him. From His majestic throne, He came down to this sin-cursed world to die upon the cross of shame for you, for me, undeserving sinners. Consider well the omnipotent affection which made Him stretch forth His hands to the nails and yield His heart to the spear. See now also that He is risen. Our Lord Jesus is our risen Savior. No more to die, crowned. No more to be dishonored, glorified. No more to suffer. Bow before Him, praise Him, hail Him in your inner nature as the wonderful, the Counselor, the mighty God, within your hearts, within your spirit. For only in that way will your love to Him be what it should. Beloved, a high esteem of Christ, furthermore, is very necessary to our comfort, to our consolation. When you esteem the Lord Jesus very highly, the things of this world become so small. It is of small account to us when we set our sight on the Lord Jesus. And the loss is not so heavily felt. Once you and I, as God's people, have a very high esteem and adoration and admiration of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, the things that you suffered in this world will become insignificant, as no comparison to that of what Christ has done for you. If you are so depressed, disturbed, troubled by your affliction, by your troubles, by the many difficulties and challenges in life, that you can by no means rejoice, even though you know that your name is truly written in the book of life, then it seems to me, if you are so troubled, so depressed, then it seems to me that you cannot love Jesus as you should. And therefore, get out of it, but delight yourself. Stir up. Pray that the Holy Spirit will stir up delightful thoughts of the Lord Jesus, of your Savior. And you will rejoice. You will rejoice even in your deepest distress, because Christ is yours if you have a high sense of the preciousness of your Savior. A drop of the precious medicine of Jesus' love, tasted in the soul, will chase away all our sorrow, all our pains. I am persuaded, brethren, that our Lord Jesus, in commending Himself to us, in the words of our text, does so with this as His highest motive. What is that highest motive? That the power of His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, may be led, that we may be led to esteem Him very highly in the innermost recesses of our heart. I come now to our second point, and that is namely the influence of this commendation upon the believers. The influence of this commendation upon the believers. We ask, why does the Lord Jesus desire our loftiest thoughts of Himself? The answer is this. It is for our good. It is for our comfort. And if you ask me how we are to cultivate or increase such high esteem and lofty thoughts of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, I suggest this. And it is very simple. First of all, think of the ruin of this world till Christ came into it. Think of your past life before you became a Christian. Think of the time when you were away as a rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ, when your friends or your family members who were Christians shared with you the gospel, and how you rejected that, how you despised that and hated them for sharing the gospel with you. And think of it now, as you see yourself safe in the arms of Jesus, redeemed by His blood. Start thinking of that. Direct your thoughts on that. Recall how the love of Christ, His grace, soften your hearts and draw you to Him. If you have great thoughts of Christ, think of your own ruin and wretchedness. Then see with your mind's eye suddenly, unexpectedly. You never expected this. And then what? A rose has been thrown into your heart by a divine hand. And it is for its sake you have been pitied, cared for by divine providence. You are washed, cleansed from your defilement, and you are adopted into heaven's family. The seal of Christ's love is upon your forehead, and the ring of faithfulness is now on your hand. A prince unto God now, through Christ. Though just now you were an orphan, cast away, stranger to the grace of God, but now you are made a prince, a peculiar people. Oh, brethren, let us prize the rose of Sharon. The putting off into your heart has made you what you are by the grace and mercy of the Lord. Next, consider your daily need of this rose. Christ is the daily food of your soul. You forsake him, he will forsake you. You know, brethren, that you are utterly powerless without your Savior, without the Lord Jesus. So therefore, prize him then in proportion to the necessities you have for him. As you cannot even pray or even think an acceptable thought apart from his presence, apart from the help and the enabling of the Holy Spirit, I beseech all of us to firmly embrace and to take hold of Christ. Press him hard, firmly upon your soul. And when you draw near to Jesus, you shall, by his Spirit enabling, bring forth fruit unto the glory of God. Apart from him, it is not possible. For he is the vine, we are the branches. Praise Christ. I say then, after the rate of the necessity that you have for him. Next, think of the high estimation of Christ had in glory. Meditate upon that. Reflect upon that. The high estimation of Christ had in glory before he came into this sin-cursed world. Think of how God esteemed his own only begotten beloved Son, his unspeakable gift to us. Think about this. Consider also what the angels think of the Lord Jesus as they count it their highest honor to veil their eyes at Jesus' feet. Consider also what the Christian, the blood-washed and redeemed people think of Christ. As a day without night, they sing his well-deserved praises with their happiest voice. Estimate him each day. Draw near to this rose of Sharon, for he is the same. Yesterday, today, forever. He changes not, though you and I, we change. Finally, I close by asking you to make a confession, as I must also confess, as suggested by my text. We ask, I ask, do I have a high esteem and praise for the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done so much for me? You who are Christian believers, I, who is a Christian, is Christ your rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys? Alas, I must, and you must too, I believe, if we are honest with ourselves. We honestly confess and lament that our eyes have been roaming everywhere else to look at other beauties. We seek not Christ. We look not to Christ, but we look at other things. Our thoughts has been deluded with imaginary excellency in the things around us, in the creatures, and we have meditated but little upon Christ. We must indeed confess that we have not loved him as we ought. We have not enjoyed Christ as we ought, which is the chief duty of man, to glorify God and to enjoy him. All this you and I must confess and mourn, that we are not more ashamed while confessing it. These and many more of our shortcomings, of our failure, so to speak, are my confessions, and I trust that it is your confession. What are yours? What are your confession, brethren? If you have none to make, no confession to make, if you can justly claim to have done all that you should have done to your beloved Savior, then I envy you. But it seems to me that there is not one here, young or old, not one Christian who will dare say this. And I'm sure you all have had your falls, your slips, your shortcomings with regard to the Lord Jesus. Well then, do not be discouraged. Do not be disheartened. The Lord is merciful, gracious, long-suffering towards us. Let us come. Come humbly to Jesus at once. He will forgive us. He will readily forgive us because he loves his bride, the church, whom he purchased with his blood. His heart is always true and faithful and tender. He will forgive the past. He will receive you at this moment. Yes, this moment he will reveal and display himself to you, if only you and I humbly return to him and confess how far we have fallen short and seek for his grace, the strength and the help of the Holy Spirit, that we may live for him anew, and particularly in this new week, as he has very, very graciously given us the life and the help for another week, another new day. Each Lord's Day is a beginning of a new week, a beginning to walk with him anew. If you will but humbly come to him, he will enter into immediate fellowship with you. Jesus says to every true Christian, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Therefore, let us return to our Savior and walk anew with him. And that the Holy Spirit will help us as we seek the Holy Spirit's help to cultivate in us a high esteem, admiration, praise to our Savior, our God, in the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, let us return and walk anew with him as he welcomes us back to his fold. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed we are very thankful to thee for thy love for us, your people. Despite our unfaithfulness, ungratefulness, despite of our turning away from thee and forsaking thee, you have kept your promise that you will never leave us nor forsake us. And you have always provided a way for us to return to thee. And so we give thanks to thee this afternoon for the meditation of this verse. And so we pray that your Spirit will create in us a heart that is after thy heart, a heart filled full to the brim and overflowing with the love of Jesus, that truly we may love thee with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. That your Spirit will work in us and sanctify our hearts and form Christ in us in this new week. That thou will help us, Lord, we pray, and that thou will create in us a heart full of love and delight in thy laws and thy commandments, thy word, that we may live out the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ in this new week, for thy name's sake and for our enjoyment. And so bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.